welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Gross.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast where we ask the important questions like, why should baby never be put in the corner? Is it Gremlins rules? What happens if she's put in the corner? Are we safe?
I hope so. Buddy, this is the censored version of the show. Swears will be bleeped. But fear not, dear listener. As always, the full uncensored version is available early on our Patreon for as little as £1. Link to that is below.
Below wherever you click play, you know? It's a fucking quid.
It's a quid. How you doing today, bud?
My sadness madness is kicking me hard in the ribs, babe. I'm getting attacked by the grey and fuzzies.
That's not good at all.
But yeah, besides that, man, there's nothing wrong. Just getting on with getting on. How about you?
I'm okay.
Good?
I'm okay. The cramp in my foot is gone, so, you know. That's pretty good.
That was a Patreon exclusive as well. So if you want to hear Ben get a cramp in his foot while I'm trying to be vulnerable, it's only £1 a month, guys.
No, I'm okay, man. I've got lots and lots on. Even more to do. I'm extremely tired.
Mm-hmm.
I have even less time to sleep. But we move.
Nice. What are we doing today, Ben?
Well, today, buddy, we're doing the 80s juggernaut, Dirty Dancing, starring Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey.
Ooh.
And this week, buddy, we are answering all the hard questions about it. Is this still relevant in 2025?
If your eyes are so hungry, what will you feed them? Eyelids don't have teeth.
Soup.
Oh yeah, there's that one solved. Cross that one off.
And most importantly, this episode is a very special one because it's the start of my crazy Swayze theory trilogy.
Woohoo!
Where I set out to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that one of my favorite fan theories of all time is 100% a truth fact. Is the theory true, though? The answer is yes. Let me cook.
We chef.
Let me cook. All right, so I have written the breakdown for you this week.
Oh, thanks, babe. I was wondering about the breakdown, and I was like, God, I don't have the time to write it. If only my best friend and pal could write it for me.
I've got you.
In a tone that would make sense for, you know, as if it had come from me. That'd be great.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I'm here for you, baby.
So, no spoiler warning, for those of you who are the first time listeners, we're going to just tell you everything that happens in this film.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you've wasted my entire life not watching this film but intending to,
mm-hmm.
maybe pause and come back. But for those of you who have seen it before and want a quick refresher, Dirty Dancing. In the summer of 1963, Baby Houseman arrives at the Kellermans, a Catskills resort with her family. Think American summer camp, but instead of obese children being forced to climb trees, it's golf, horseshoes, and a future disgruntled Jurassic Park employee yelling into a megaphone about trying on wigs for fun.
Yeah.
Curious and idealistic, Baby stumbles upon the resort staff's secret after-hours dance party.
Yeah.
And helps a mysteriously full of exposition. I mean, but the first act of a film and is then seemingly non-existent after his worth being spent.
Yeah.
Ben, this is madness. This is the longest sentence I've ever heard. Right.
Oh yeah, grammar's not my strong point.
Baby stumbles on a fella carrying a watermelon up to the house. This is where Baby meets Johnny Castle, the charismatic but sadly working class dance instructor.
Yeah.
When Johnny's dance partner, Penny, is unable to perform due to an unexpected pregnancy, Baby steps up to help.
Yeah.
Johnny initially doubts her ability, but as he trains her, Baby transforms from an awkward beginner into a confident dancer, developing a deep attraction to Johnny along the way.
And so she should. That man is beautiful.
It's all right, Sean Connery. So she should. So she should. Miss Money Penny. As their bond strengthens, Baby and Johnny fall in love, despite their different backgrounds. I mean, what, there's so much between them.
A tale as old as time.
They're both white, American, dance-interested people, but he is poor, so you're right, very different.
You know,
their relationship is passionate, but faces resistance from Baby's disapproving father, who assumes Johnny is irresponsible and dangerous. The situation worsens when Johnny is falsely accused of theft, leading to his firing from the resort. Heartbroken, Baby stands by him, confessing her love. But Johnny, feeling powerless against the class divide, he leaves. He's out of there. He's gone. He's Swayze.
The working class has just pushed him right out.
He's just gone full Swayze.
Yeah.
That's a hip-hop reference, Ben. You won't get it.
No, I won't.
Determined to not let societal barriers define them, Johnny makes an almost immediate dramatic return during the resort's final talent show, declaring that nobody puts Baby in a corner.
Yeah, he does.
In front of the entire crowd, they perform their now iconic routine, culminating in Baby's triumphant leap into Johnny's arms.
Yeah,
the moment symbolizes their love, Baby's personal growth, and Johnny's ability to rise above prejudice.
What a hero.
As the dance floor fills with people inspired by their defiance,
yeah.
Baby and Johnny share a final victorious dance,
yeah.
celebrating freedom, passion and self-discovery.
Yes.
The fact he's 25 and she's 16 never crosses anyone's mind.
Nor
not even
it.
Her doe-eyed sad dad or mute mother. Hashtag parenting. Hashtag 1963. Hashtag free love for all. Hashtag she'll be 18 one day.
Free love for all. The yeah. 60s truly were a different time yeah. in 1987.
It really was. Johnny Castle just walking into Ann Summers asking where the kids section is.
That's fucking outrageous.
Ben, why did you want to do this film? I've got a lot to get. We've got a lot to get into.
We've got so much to get into on this, right?
I need to know why you've brought this madness.
So, A, I'm a little bit obsessed with Patrick Swayze. I think he might be one of my favourite actors of all time.
Yeah.
It's 90% of the reason that I've got a mullet. It's 60% of the reason that I go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, okay.
Essentially, I found a little theory online.
Mm-hmm.
About Dirty Dancing, Roadhouse, and Point Break. And I love all three of those films, grew up with them, haven't watched them in years, and thought, right. you know who would really get something out of Dirty Dancing?
Right, right.
Rob McFarlane.
Okay.
Robert J. McFarlane. So my question to you is, bud.
Yeah.
Why haven't you seen this before?
Right. It's a very specific reason.
Hit me with it.
If Elon Musk, he was gonna give me free money, I'd go, what's the catch? I don't trust this person. He's okay. everything I stand against.
So Dogecoin.
Yeah, right, exactly. If he came out okay. something like that, I'd be like, absolutely yeah. not.
Cool.
If the town racist said someone was a good guy, I'd be like, they're not though, are they? They're just also racist.
In this analogy, am I Elon Musk and the town racist?
No.
Because I'm telling you to watch this film.
No.
Okay,
no.
Good.
It's better than that. So Min. When I grew up in a house with my grandmother, my mum, and my two aunts. Three bedroom house. I slept in the back of the living room and I'd come home from school and I was desperate to watch The Simpsons. But guess what?
Yeah.
I'd walk in and my two aunts would be there with the battered VHS copy of Dirty Dancing.
Yes, buddy.
Everything else they watched was pure shit.
Okay.
It was pure shit.
Yeah.
And so they were like, Dirty Dancing is our favourite film. And I'm like, so that means it's the shittest film. And also, it's always on when I want to watch The Simpsons.
Oh, dude, I know exactly where you're coming from.
You're not Elon Musk. You're not the town racist. My aunt's
Your family is.
Yeah.
That's a great little subject.
As I grew up, I've got limited time.
Yeah.
I watch the films I watch. And someone goes, do you want to watch Dirty Dancing? I'm like, I'd rather slide uncooked spaghetti down my tear ducts.
Mm-hmm.
I resent it.
That's a great way to pass the time. I mean, I was raised by two women, obviously my sisters, my two sisters and my mom sort of essentially raised me.
Yeah.
They loved this film, which meant that I loved this film.
Right.
Because
you don't have a spine.
Very much enjoyed it.
Yeah.
No. It's just super fun. You're being serious. Like pirouetting around the living room as a child was essentially how I got about my day-to-day life. It was incredible.
With your little German dictionary.
With my little German dictionary. Yeah, exactly. My brother was showing me horror films. My sisters were showing me Dirty Dancing and weird Patrick Swayze movies.
Brilliant.
It was the perfect combination for this horrible mess of a personality that I have now.
It's balancing a seesaw by putting things at the exact opposite end.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
You could put things on the pivot. No. Either end.
No. Swing it as far as possible.
Yeah.
Pendulum this bitch. Let's see how he turn out. Know what I mean? Spoiler.
Unbalanced.
Not great. Rob, give me your initial thoughts watching Dirty Dancing for the first time in 2025.
I have been a painted fool, an idiot. DJ Khaled would lean in and congratulate me.
Yeah.
And tell me that I played myself. Because this is the most pleasant place you can spend 2 hours.
Right?
Not a single person that you spend time with in this film has any bad thoughts.
Do you see what I'm saying? Even the bad guys.
Well, the thing is, the bad guy, who's the guy who gets Penny, the professional female dancer, pregnant.
Yeah.
You don't see him. He's in the film for about 15 seconds.
Literally.
And the 15 seconds he's in the film, he's pretty tolerable.
And then he gets the shit kicked out of him and disappears.
Yeah, exactly.
it's amazing.
Mint. Like, there's a moment where she asks her dad for $250.
Yep.
And he just goes, "Ooh, that's a lot of money." She's like, "I need you to trust me. I can't tell you what it's for." And he's like, "You know what? Sure.
Yeah, I trust you."
And then she purchases an abortion for Penny. And it goes wrong because abortion was illegal when this was set. And she wakes up her dad in the middle of the night. She goes, "Dad, come quick." And he just gets up. He just gets his bag.
Yep.
He just goes with it. There's none of that normal, "Why, what are we doing?" He's just like, "Nope, it's my daughter. She needs me. I'm off."
Yep.
Everybody is mint in this film. Everything is lovely. And it's just a warm, beautiful place. It's camp as all hell. It's fun as all hell. And it's rocketed into the top of my 80s movies.
Oh God, I love this so much
it's legitimately a brilliant film.
I love that you had this reaction because the night before you watched this, I met you at the Boardroom Gaming Cafe in Telford.
You did.
And we hung out with, you know, John, Jenny, Linz.
Mm-hmm.
But we were sitting there and I was like, "Rob, I'm begging you, please watch it tonight because it is legitimately incredible." I was fresh off watching it and I was like, "Go and watch it, please. It's incredible." And the hate speech that spewed out of your mouth in my direction, "Ben, you tell me to watch shit films."
You do.
If you like this film, it must be dog shit.
That's a fact.
It's going to be awful.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to doing this. I'm not in a desperate rush to do this at all.
Well, and that's your silly little theory.
Hold on. Your
hang
silly
about.
Little theory.
You're talking about when we hung
nothing
out
to me
on Sunday.
Yes.
And on Sunday,
yes.
I needed to edit the episode,
yes.
Make the reels for social, and do the artwork.
Yes.
Before a job interview the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Nothing on.
And you were like, "Rob, watch Dirty Dancing."
Yeah, nothing on.
Okay. Nothing on. So hate speech, go on. Yes.
You were hate speeching all over the place. And then...
Right.
You started messaging me on the Monday.
Mm.
And we hadn't spoken in a couple hours. And then just out of the blue, you just started messaging me.
I was busy.
And I was like, "So you're watching Dirty Dancing?" You're like, yeah, it's just got on. And I was like, just text me your thoughts. I will not respond. Okay?
Right.
And this is what you text me, bud. Because in the boardroom, you were like, "Patrick Swayze, he's not fit. His face is too sharp. He looks weird."
You could climb his face without ropes. That is just
I want
a fact.
To. I would indeed. That guy's a gorgeous, gorgeous human person. The first message you sent me was, "It's brilliant, Ben. Patrick Swayze is so fit."
He is, yeah.
"Just got to the first Motown dance sequence where everyone just communally dry humps."
They've got a special room for dry humping. They do. Like, "Should we go to the dry humping room? Listen to Motown." And
exactly.
Then just grind groins together.
Yeah. Also, Nedry is in it.
You know,
before he hacked Jurassic Park, he was just at a holiday resort with a megaphone.
I've got a theory on that. We'll get to it later.
Awesome. I want to hear it. "Let me copy paste what I've got so far in my notes. She's called Baby. It's not set in the 80s. What the fuck is merengue?"
Yeah. I heard they say, "Oh, we're doing a merengue." And I was like, "Isn't that the barkeeper from Deep Space Nine?" Like,
No. I remember.
Isn't that the big eared fella?
Yeah, I remember. And then you just started live tweeting me the entire film, which was great. I'm just going to dip into a couple of my favorites right here. "This is so clearly hinting at kink. Lots of good girl and strength play."
Yeah, there is. He keeps calling everyone good girl and they're like picking her up and she's like, "Yeah, I am a good girl." And I'm like,
"She did the dance. She f***ed it up, but he was so supportive." That one is in all caps.
Yeah.
"I've been nonstop smiling for like 25 minutes at this point."
Mm-hmm.
"This has flawed writing." This is the one that got me and this is what made me really happy. "This has flawed writing and now we're in forced conflict because something hasn't been properly explained to her father. It's a cheap trick for conflict. That's as cliche as all time, but the film has so much charm that it doesn't matter. I don't care, and I fully support this writing choice." That right there
is
Dirty Dancing summed up to a
100%.
And that was it.
Because so many times in a film, something will happen, and a character will go, "Darling, let me explain." And then the darling won't let them explain. They'll walk out. And then you've got to sit through an hour of film that you wouldn't have to watch if someone had just stood there for 4 seconds longer and gone, "Oh, okay, that's your sister, not your girlfriend. Wicked."
Exactly.
Like,
And then you saved yourself so much time.
Right, and I hate that in films because I'm like, we're beyond that now. And that's not how people work.
We are.
But people will say, "Explain yourself." They don't go, "I'm fine without context. I'll just go on with my life carrying this incredible pain." They're like,
100%.
"Could you maybe avoid the pain for me by just giving me more information?"
Yeah.
So I always hate it. But in this instance, it leads to more film.
Yes.
And I'm having such a good time that I'm like, yeah, great.
Dude.
I don't care. Just give me more film.
I don't care that this is just and then, and then, and then, and then, because everything is so charming and lovely and fun.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Okay.
And I got to say, it wasn't hate speech. It was just my usual chatting about film, all right?
No.
I had a lot on, had to edit the episode.
It was not.
I had a job. Look,
it was your Clerks 3.
You put your pickle on everyone's plate, and you always leave the hard stuff to me, all right?
Yeah.
So enough of that. You wouldn't know a good idea if it hit you in the pachanga, mate.
You,
all right?
You quoting Swayze has literally just tickled my nips. You have no idea. It was good. That made me
you're
good.
Right. There were a couple of things that shocked me whilst watching it.
Yeah.
I always, in order, okay, you read one. She's called Baby. That's her name.
Yes.
Now, all I knew about this film before watching it was that it was set in the 80s.
Okay, it's not, but that's fine.
And at a certain point, Patrick Swayze broke up a fight.
Okay.
Where a woman was in physical distress.
Right.
And he pulled a guy off her and went, no one puts Baby in a corner.
I think you've mixed up Roadhouse and one line from Dirty Dancing.
Possibly. I've not seen that either. So
okay. Well, you've pretty much just described what half of the film is based around.
Okay. So can you imagine my surprise when at a certain point, completely unprompted, with no drama whatsoever, Patrick Swayze walks into a perfectly functional room, points at a woman and just goes, no one puts Baby in a corner, with no drama around it at all.
None.
It's a totally unnecessary line.
It is. Also, I genuinely love it.
I get it in the film, but when you're expecting like Patrick Swayze to be pulling some 80s biker offer, going, nobody puts Baby in the corner.
You're thinking of Roadhouse.
He's just walking in to a rec room and just being like, she shouldn't be sat there.
You're going to be so happy with Roadhouse. It's going to be unreal. I can't wait for this trilogy. It's going to be so good.
Okay.
But speaking of the trilogy.
Okay.
The reason I wanted to do this to start off with, I've got a fan theory.
Right.
I've got a crazy Swayze theory. It's originally a fan theory.
You told me about this.
Yeah.
I want you to tell the listener.
All right.
This is nonsense.
So here we go. First off, huge shout out to Confused Breakfast Podcast. I found this theory through them, right?
Right.
They presented it
through,
I think it was like on a TikTok thing in one of their episodes. And although it's pretty thin,
right,
it is a very fun thought experiment. So my autistic ass decided to go and watch all three films involved with this theory and prove without a shadow of a doubt that this theory is 100% a truth fact.
See, what I love is you sold me this theory and I was like, well, this is nonsense. But now I'm really happy to find out that we're doing three whole episodes about some another podcast's marketing materials.
No. It was a very thin line that they linked this with.
Right.
What I've done is I've beefed it out. All right, I've beefed it out.
Okay.
A lot of it's nonsense, but I've beefed it out, all right? Strap in for some fun. You ready?
They've discovered uranium, and you're like, yeah, but I can build reactors out of this.
Yeah, but Chernobyl?
Right, okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
okay.
Let's watch it burn.
Fine.
So the theory is this. Patrick Swayze's characters in Dirty Dancing, Roadhouse, and Point Break are all the same person.
Ooh.
Now, there is circumstantial evidence slash little nods to this theory in Point Break where they hint at both Dirty Dancing and Roadhouse. So whether this is intentional universe building or just fun little Swayze Easter eggs,
right,
it's irrelevant, mate. This theory has sparked something in me and I'm here to drag us all down with me.
Okay.
So strap in, right? I went away. I watched all three films with this theory in mind and I've come up for air drenched in Swayze. I'm sopping wet for the Swayze. Going to be hard not to shoot ahead and spoil this. So I'll give you what Confused Breakfast gave me and I'll fill in the blanks as we go throughout the next three episodes.
Okay.
So this is what they gave me.
Right.
Johnny Castle, a charming, trustworthy guy with a rough side who knows how to fight, gets disillusioned with the wealthy and the upper classes at Kellerman's. Instead of chasing a college degree like everyone else, he travels the country wanting to help people, practicing spirituality and evolving his fighting skills. This is where we get into Roadhouse.
Okay, yeah.
It becomes one of the best bouncers in the US, but realizes his life has gone down a rough path. He doesn't want to continue down. Didn't like who he became. So he moved to California. Now we're in Point Break territory.
Moved
to California. Developed a new philosophy in life. After the rich people of Kellerman's from Dirty Dancing, and even Wesley in the Roadhouse, he knew two things. One, that he never wanted to work for the man ever again. And two, steal from the rich.
So
he started robbing banks.
Right, okay.
The main detail that Bodhi from Point Break is Johnny Castle from Dirty Dancing is when Bodhi tells Johnny that a car reminds him of a 1957 Chevy that he used to have. And what car does Johnny Castle drive in Dirty Dancing, Rob?
He drives a Chevy, yeah.
He drives a 1957 Chevy.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So that's the whole theory.
Okay.
It's just that little link. It's like a fun little thought experiment. It's a fun little thing.
I'm all here for the fun.
Yeah.
I got some points, and I do think that this is nonsense.
Okay.
I think you've hit upon something.
Yeah.
The idea of connected universes outside of full sequels is not a thing that existed. And I think it's what you said.
I agree.
It's just Swayze eggs. It's just
I agree.
The man lays eggs.
Yeah.
He's an avian.
Yeah.
And just it's just like a little nod.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I'm here for it. If you can stitch this together.
All right.
You are going to have all the brown points.
Yeah.
So many brown points.
I'm here for the brown points. Like, so listen, I started this and I was like, that's a fun little thought experiment. And I went away and watched Dirty Dancing and started really digging into it. And I've got some points for you, bud. I've got some evidence that I'm going to bring to the table now.
Okay.
Strap in for the nonsense because it's coming thick and fast.
Right. Okay.
All right. So I've got some thoughts here. This is going to set up Johnny Castle getting ready to transition into
a woman,
into James Dalton in Roadhouse.
Oh okay.
So you know the dance scene after Baby's dad helps Lisa?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
There's like a montage thing, right?
Yes, there is.
And Johnny Castle is like, the reason people treat me like I'm nothing is because I'm nothing. And
yeah,
Baby's
yeah,
all like, that's
yeah.
not Don't true, that. Johnny Castle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're everything.
Right.
And then Johnny Castle is like, I've never met a person like you. You look at the world and you think you can make it better. Somebody's lost, you find them.
Yeah.
Somebody's bleeding, you help them. You know what I mean? So this is all like little eggs where he's met this one person.
Swayze eggs, yeah.
Swayze eggs. This is the first Swayze egg. Johnny tells Baby how much she inspires him, how much good she can do, right?
Yeah, she's yeah.
Fearless. Yeah. She helps anyone that needs it. He could never do this. He's nothing.
Right.
But, and this is why I love this film. Baby bites back with, I am scared. And I'm scared that if I leave this room, I'll never feel the way I do when I'm with you ever again.
Ooh.
Now, after raising each other up for a little bit, hyping each other up, inspiring him to do better, Johnny does immediately fuck the minor. But hear me out. She danced real good. So what was he meant to do? Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Okay. May I?
Cut in, buddy.
Right, okay.
You may cut in. Yeah. Take this dance.
I want to just kick against this age thing, okay?
Yeah.
Because it is gross in today's time. It's a gross thing. Like,
Of course.
In the 80s, it was less gross. And in the time period they're depicting, it was totally normal.
1963, completely acceptable.
Right. Now, what I will say for Dirty Dancing that is really, really rare, especially in contemporary cinema, we don't get this that often anymore.
Yeah.
There's like an honest to goodness, super wholesome depiction of desire.
There is.
Without ever getting pornographic.
Yeah.
You 100% get the intention.
Yeah.
You 100% get the way they feel for one another and that kind of visceral, physical longing for one another.
You do.
Not a nipple. There's not a tit in sight.
No. There doesn't need to be, though.
It's incredible.
It's because...
There doesn't need to be. And it kind of made me realize how incredibly lazy a lot of modern filmmaking is when it comes to depicting desire. They're like, well, the female actress will just get fully nude and will show a floppy penis. Because you never see an erect one in cinema.
That's not true. I very recently got caught off guard on Netflix.
Oh, yeah? 9 songs?
No.
Right?
In Infinity Pool with Mia Goth. And one of the Skarsgårds.
Oh, wow. Skarsgårds would go full tentpole, though. Their method.
Dude, it was shocking.
Right,
this was
but there
Netflix.
We go.
Because I have it. I have the Blu-ray.
Because you see a full one, you're like, oh, my God.
Dude, I've got the Blu-ray copy of Infinity Pool. And there's a scene where Mia Goth just walks up behind the Skarsgård whilst like, he's just done taking the piss. She just wanks him off. And at the end of it, you don't see dick at all.
I love how casual you are about this.
You just see a bit of...
You know, she's having a piss and then she just wanks him off Tuesday, innit?
You think I'm being casual. You should watch the film. Mia Goth is like non-existent. The expression's gone. But like, and then you just see a bit of cum land on some stones, right?
Wow. Wow.
I showed this to someone the other day and I was like, oh, let's watch Infinity Pool. And we were watching it. And on Netflix, it shows full erect dick getting wanked off and then an ejaculation scene. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that in cinema.
Just one moment. If you are listening on speakers, sorry. Headphones
apologies.
Gang.
Yeah, sorry.
Headphones
yeah,
gang. Yeah. Right.
Retroactively. spoiler, I guess, for Infinity Pool.
Spiller.
Spiller, yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
But no, so to bring it back to Dirty Dancing for a second.
You don't need that in Dirty Dancing.
You don't need that. And I do feel like modern cinema has just gone, we'll go extreme.
Yeah.
And like, I've got no problem seeing that. I just feel like, is it artistic? Sometimes it is. It sounds like Infinity Pool it is because it's evoking a reaction.
It is.
But the number of times now I see a fully nude sex scene and I'm like, this is adding nothing except a slightly awkward vibe to the room.
Yeah, at some point it was sort of shock cinema to hold attention.
Right, but it's not that anymore.
Whereas it's not that right. anymore because
it's the equivalent of Marilyn Manson in 2020. You're just like, oh, yeah. Please stop.
You look like my nan. Please stop putting on the eyeliner.
Right. You know what I mean? Why is my nan in a dress swearing on stage?
But that's essentially it. This is where we're at. And Dirty Dancing does that really well. You do get the intention. You do get the sort of intimacy that I feel a lot of films lack these days. Next point of evidence for my Ooh. Crazy Swayze theory. I should have named it something easier to say.
You're going to need to learn how to say this.
Yeah, I've tried. I've written it a lot.
We're doing three episodes of this, babe.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's going to get tiresome.
Right.
The scene where Baby asks Johnny, have you had a lot of women?
Mm.
And then he turns, hooking up with 2 to 3 different rich women every day into some sort of sob story.
Yeah.
But he does it in an endearing way where he's like, this does happen. And it's happened a lot, but I've come from fuck all and these people are putting diamonds in my pocket and giving me money. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, obviously.
Does it make me feel good? You know what I mean? And he goes into this thing about being used by rich women who are just looking to slum it because he's a working class, sort of rugged, good looking guy and how it's having a negative effect on our Johnny boy. You know what I mean? But she's the first woman to really care about him. And I think that's the point. Like, she genuinely shows an affection to him. Like, we've just spoken about.
Yeah.
Francis, which is Baby's real name, by the way, shows Castle that there are people out there that are worthy of love. He's just got to look hard enough. And if someone as elevated as her, like as someone as upper class as her, can love this little street rat, who knows? Maybe.
One day she'll have a podcast with him.
Maybe our Johnny could do the same. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a bit of a life lesson in there somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Are you saying that she's teaching him? Because I've not seen Roadhouse, so I'm guessing.
No. I need you to bear these in mind when you're watching it, buddy.
Right.
I've got a summation at the end. Don't you worry,
okay,
good sir.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you some leaving points to go away with and watch Roadhouse with.
Give me some homework, babe.
I've got some homework for you. My next point, my next piece of evidence, Exhibit C, if you will.
Right.
After the career-ending news that the Pachanga is now the final dance, instead of Johnny Castle's original dance idea.
Devastating.
It was heartbreaking scene.
Right.
It's cinema, I was on the edge of my seat. Tears were on the precipice.
Pure Kino.
So they're storming away. And Baby's like, why don't you just fight it? Why don't you just fight for what you want?
Mm.
Johnny Castle will turn around. I can't fight. I need this job for next summer.
Right.
If I fight back, I'll lose this gig. And then before you know it, I'm painting houses.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Right.
I can't lose my dance job. Otherwise, I'm a house painter.
Right. Which brings up the very relevant point that principles are a luxury.
Yeah.
Like, we'd all love to be able to stick by our principles.
Yeah.
The number of principles I'd love to stick by.
1,000%.
But I need to eat.
Yeah, 100%.
And I can't eat without this job.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Right.
1,000%. I would love to do this. But Baby encourages Johnny to be the best that he can and follow his dreams, to fight harder.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to this one, Rob. You ready?
Right.
To fight harder. That's for Roadhouse.
Okay.
They need it.
Is he going to fight? Is there fighting in Roadhouse? If you're saying that she says
there is.
He needs to fight harder, and then in Roadhouse, he has a fist fight and you're like, theory confirmed, Illuminati, I'm going to be furious with you. I'm going to be furious, Ben.
It's a very tangible link, but he does fight. He's the best fighter. He's the hardest fighter. But Johnny Cashel,
Johnny Cashel, you are Sean Connery today, aren't you?
Dude, I'm really tired. Let's not focus on it because it's going to happen a lot. I'm not even going to try and cover it at this point.
I'm going to pick it up every time.
Yeah, sick. All right. Let's see how this theory pans out. Johnny Cashel, he bites back at Baby. He's like, yeah, I need to fight harder. I need to stand for what I believe in, for what I love.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like you need to fight harder to show your father that Johnny is her guy. And he's right.
He is right. That's a super, super valid point where she's like, she's giving him life advice. And you're like, you told your dad about me yet?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And what does he do? Does he stick around and argue with it? No. What does Baby do? Take something on board and is like, you know what? Mm. Actions are louder than words. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. They're building each other up. They're growing. So now,
communicate.
Johnny Cashel, let's see where he goes next. Hey, let's see where he goes next.
Okay.
Baby does what she preaches. She sings what she preaches. She acts out what she said. Mm-hmm. She tells her parents and the hotel manager when Johnny Castle's accused of theft, no, it couldn't have been him because I was with him last night.
He was up to his nuts and guts and there was absolutely no way he could be out.
Up to his nuts.
There's absolutely no way he could be out robbing purses. Yeah.
See what I mean? She was so eloquent about it as well to her doctor father whilst eating a bread roll.
Right.
You should have seen it. It was sticky, Daddy.
She was like, Dad, you know where the cervix is, right?
Hated that. Hated all of it. So Baby essentially ruins a family dynamic. She upsets her father. The next scene is her and Johnny Cashel in a room. He's like, you were right. They proved it wasn't me that was the thief. It was that old couple were wanted in 4 states and were on the lam from the law. And I'm like,
so charming, so fun, so beautiful, so warm.
Right?
What a resolution.
Right?
Anyone could have been the thief. They're like, it's the old couple because that's funny.
Yeah.
And that's warm and that's charming.
Exactly. And it's hilarious. The fact that these 2 80-year-old people can barely manage to walk anywhere are on the run.
Do you know what I love about that subplot? Is that I got the impression, because of the tone of this film, because of the unending warmth of the tone of this film.
Yeah.
That old couple who were thieves.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the thieves, I'm like, they've probably been married 50 years.
Oh, yeah, there's an endearing story there.
And they got to 75. They got 75 and they're like, life's got a bit stagnant, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is like their Bonnie and Clyde run. This is their Thelma and Louise. This is like a thing that they've wanted to do for ages. And when they get caught, they're like, sick.
That's it.
That went exactly how
what are you
going
to do?
There's no malice.
You're going to send me to prison for the rest of my 4 years? No, I'm out, bitches.
Right, exactly. And they're not doing it out of malice. They're doing it out of love for each other and a zest for life.
Yeah.
I love it.
1,000% that was crafted over a 4 p.m. dinner.
Yeah.
They saw a wallet hanging out of a bag and went, bet you wouldn't.
Right, exactly.
And then she leaned over it, did it, and they had sex for the first time in a decade. Guaranteed.
And now every time
this film is all about
King. Every time they go somewhere, she's like, odds on stealing the statue. Yeah.
Give you a handy if you rob that statue. 1,000%. So... anyway, Baby's done this thing. She's told her parents. She's told this thing. The crime's been solved, but Johnny's still been fired. He's been asked to leave quietly because, you know, now it's
been fraternizing with guests.
Exactly. Yeah. He's been banging a guest daughter. We all know it's the hotel owner's special guest. They're good mates. So he's been asked to leave. Baby comes out with, so I did it for nothing. I hurt my family. I did it all for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnny Cashel comes back. No one has ever done anything like this for me before.
Beautiful.
And then Johnny, this beautiful human, goes out of his way to go see Baby's dad and try and make things right.
Incredible.
For Baby. Not for any other reason, because she's done what she said she's going to do.
Yep.
He's going to try and make it right by her. This little street rat is trying his f***ing hardest to be a better person and help the person that has helped him.
Yeah.
That's all in capitals. I need you to remember that for Roadhouse. He's helping the person that has helped him.
I get that.
He doesn't correct her father and try to clear his name when he thinks it's Johnny who was the guy who got Lisa knocked up and left
Did
f*** all about it.
He just lets him sit in
that. He focuses on causing as little damage as possible for Baby because he's picking his fights.
Okay.
That's another one for Roadhouse.
Here's the thing. When you go, this is one for Roadhouse.
Yeah.
What you're picking is links.
Yeah.
I can smell the tenuousness.
Oh, dude.
I can smell the thin spider webs. And actually...
I've already written the Roadhouse episode, so this is... It makes perfect sense to me. It must be a fucking nightmare for you and the listeners.
It is. And
I'm not sorry.
Just to rescue the listeners for a moment. You said that one of your favourite actors of all time was Patrick Swayze.
I fucking love him. I love him.
I have only ever really known Patrick Swayze as that guy that what was in Dirty Dancing. He was in Ghost.
Yeah.
Which is where the hip-hop reference thing comes, by the way, because a load of rappers would go, I'm Swayze. when they say I'm leaving.
Oh, okay.
Because he's ghost.
Oh, right? I love
that. What do you know about Patrick Swayze's life? Let's do the early part. Let's do this little three-parter. Because as you go through the fictional biography of the one man that is Johnny Castle, Mr. Roadhouse, and Bodie from Point Break,
yeah.
I'm going to just give you little nuggets of different chunks of Swayze's life. What do you know about Swayze?
I know bits of sort of trivia that I've picked up over the years. So I know that he was incredibly self-conscious because he had quite an overbearing mother.
Oh yes,
he did. And he worked a lot to try and get over that. This is why he was always dancing, mm-hmm. always trying to entertain, always in impeccable shape,
yep.
gorgeous human, because his self-confidence was in the bin.
Yeah.
Even though he was like the 80s heartthrob.
Yes, 100%. You know, you're totally right on that. I'm going to add violent mother. So he was born in 1952 in Houston. His mum, Patsy, you just mm-hmm. mentioned, who was, she had a very violent upbringing and she didn't quite manage to keep it all
right
in her generation. It spilled over, as it often does. But she was a dancer, choreographer and dance instructor, but his dad was a engineering draftsman.
Okay.
But he grew up as his mother's son doing dancing, figure skating, ballet, talent shows, all this kind of stuff, which in 1960s America, you can imagine, for a boy... Mm-hmm. was controversial.
Not great.
So controversial, in fact, that around the age of 12, five boys jumped him at once.
Wow.
Right. Now, you think that's interesting?
Yeah.
Wait till you see how it got resolved. So his father, Jesse, a one-time rodeo champion and Golden Gloves boxer.
Incredible.
Taught him hand-to-hand combat.
Yes.
For a series of months.
Yes.
And then drove him to school mm-hmm. and told the football coach to pull those five boys out of class mm-hmm. so they could settle this thing in the weight shack by the football field, except this time the football coach and his dad lined them up.
What?
And Patrick Swayze beat the shit out of them one by one.
Fuck yes. That is actually incredible.
It's all in his autobiography. He absolutely tucked them in, like glass of warm milk, soft lullaby, good night. They all. Can you imagine that in today's schools? Just as a parent, just rocking up and being like, can you just grab those five kids off the pitch real quick so my son can just beat the shit out of them?
Yeah, just behind the shed. Me and you can ref what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got a fiver on my son, what you're saying.
So he stuck with his dancing. He was fully going to be... He went to ballet school in New York to proper finish it.
Okay.
Until his knee exploded, basically. He had a football injury on his knee. And then get this... with the
happens to the best
weirdest,
of us, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, if you think that happened, bud, you have no idea. Right.
Okay.
So he's got this bad... Patrick Swayze, he's got this bad knee from a football injury.
Yeah.
And then later, whilst he's at ballet school, he gets an infected tooth.
Okay.
Bad abscess in his tooth, which leads to a staph infection that gets into his blood and settles in his knee until the point where it's 1 week away from needing amputation.
Right. Okay.
Imagine getting a bad tooth and then going to the dentist and then being like, we're going to need to amputate your leg. Because that happened to Patrick Swayze.
That's amazing. Okay. That's nutty.
So, his knee's shot. He can't dance. He decides to act. He gets roles. He keeps getting roles. He did a film with John Travolta. Yeah. And then he did a film called Red Dawn, which also starring Jennifer Grey. But he dicked around so much. Like, he blew up a toilet with a cast member in it. And then when they came out of the toilet and started swearing at him, he blew up the two bins outside the toilet.
Yeah. Love this guy.
Right. Nonsense. Which rightly, Jennifer Grey is like, that guy's an arsehole who doesn't take it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then when they both get cast in Dirty Dancing, firstly, he's got to overcome the fact that they don't want to cast him because he's got a shot knee that might explode if he doesn't brush his teeth right.
It happens to the best of us.
But then also Jennifer Grey hates him. That scene in Dirty Dancing where Johnny is teaching Baby to dance and there's that little montage where he like tickles her arm and she's laughing her head off and he's fuming.
Yeah.
It's B-roll. That Swayze's genuinely being upset that he has to work with someone he didn't think was taking it seriously enough. He hated it, which is the criticism she'd said about him on their previous movie, Red Dawn. Oh, he doesn't take things seriously. So then they get another film where it's about dancing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's my wheelhouse now.
Yeah.
This is my roadhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll take this seriously.
This is my roadhouse.
Right. And then they famously didn't get on for a lot of this, but Swayze says it helped the film, and I think it does. I think it works that he is, 100%. as a person, a very professional dancer, and she's an actress learning how to dance.
It's incredible. And the way that it works, a lot of the dancing scenes are all B-roll. It's just people were filming them as they were dicking about, warming up.
Beautiful.
Having a giggle. There was so much of it that was left in the film. It was crazy. Just because it was like a genuine tender moment of those guys enjoying themselves, getting warmed up to do an actual take. And the actual take was cut because it was shit. they were like, doesn't feel real. What does feel real is you guys dicking about.
In the dry hump
pretending to be all like goofy. Yeah. Exactly. And it makes all the difference. And then my final piece of evidence is the black 1957 Chevy, which we've covered already in the thinner version of the theory, but it's there, right?
Fine. Okay. I look forward to joining some of these dots together.
Oh, man.
And this had better be rock solid. Otherwise,
You just wait, mate.
Because I very much feel like I'm just carrying a watermelon at this point. I'm just...
Yeah. Right. See?
Right.
God, I love that you love this film. I love this so much.
What surprises me about the film is, firstly, it's all incredibly based on the writer's teenage summers, right?
And her actual nickname.
So Eleanor Bergstein was called Baby, exactly. And she did meet a dance tutor who the Patrick Swayze character is based on.
Yeah.
She gets this film greenlit based on being in the right place at the right time, talking to the right people.
Right. I have no clue how you would get this greenlit today. There is not a shot. There is no universe where this would get greenlit today.
But then we say it got greenlit. It got greenlit for $5 million at a time when the average cost was $12 million. This is the indiest of indie films. They were not expecting this to be big. They thought it was a teen interest story. They were desperate for the abortion subplot to be dropped. Because they were like, that is good. That is absolutely red rag to a bull in Reagan's America.
Yeah.
But the film drew adult audiences instead of the expected teenagers.
Yeah.
And then, what was it here? Word of mouth promotion. It came to number one in the US. And in 10 days, it had broken the $10 million mark.
Which is mental for 87.
It's mental.
For a tiny movie that no one gave a shit about.
It's mental that $5 million in 1987... turned into $214 million.
Worldwide,
which,
if
you adjust for inflation, means they spent $14 million.
Yep.
And they made $611 million back.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, that's nutty, right?
That is 4,300% increase.
With a film that is so heavy on segregation. You know what I mean?
Segregation.
Like, there's a big segregation. Yeah. You know,
the fact that there's a black dancer and there's a black male dancer and a black female dancer, and they only dance with each other.
No.
Oh, okay. So the class segregation where, like, you've got the rich guests and
stop it. That's baby stuff. Come on. Okay. The segregation.
If this is,
they're not with us. They're not. They're the dance people. What's she doing here? She's not part of the dance gang.
That's true. I was never part of the dance gang because I was a goth. So I would just stand in one place and I'd do the little. I just do the little hop, do the little bop.
Right.
Maybe let my fringe shake a little bit. You know.
Exactly. So it's the equivalent of you carrying a watermelon into the townie's secret party house.
Right. Yeah.
And you trying to blend in, you know what I mean? It's like, I know it's a goofy like joke thing, but you can replace it with anything. You can put any sort of war in opposites here, race, gender, class, species, ice cream toppers, everything works.
Yeah.
This is like an analogy
this
level.
This ran so Avatar could walk.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Dirty dancing
so that Avatar could walk. Yeah.
That's the best way to put. That's the episode title right there. There you go.
I've got a game for us, but just before we do, because this is going to light the game will lighten the mood, but this is the unlight bit, which is Bergstein talking about the subplot and how desperate the studio were to get rid of it. They were like, Eleanor, we'll pay you to go back into the editing room and take the abortion out, which is ironic.
Right. Ironic.
She's like, honestly, I'd be happy to, but if I take it out, the whole story collapses. There's no reason for Baby to help Penny, for her to dance, or to fall in love with Johnny. None of these things will happen without the abortion, so I can't do it. But the interesting thing is that Eleanor Bergstein, the writer of Dirty Dancing, recalled the abortion being important for her as a subplot. Despite the movie being made in 1987, which is more than a decade after Roe v. Wade, which made abortion legal. And she said, "I don't know that it will always be legal. And very young women didn't remember a time before Roe v. Wade. So I hoped this film would help them learn not to take it for granted. I hoped they would know what it was like before."
That's fucking intense. You know what
it's
I mean?
A bit when you consider how well America's doing with that right now.
Yeah.
And I think all we need to do is just organize some watch-alongs of Dirty Dancing.
I'm down for this. I am down for organizing just a watch-along of Dirty Dancing.
Just get some Republican conventions. Just screen Dirty Dancing outside Republican conventions.
Just get
100%,
it
100%. Right, do you want to play a game?
I would love to, buddy.
Right, it's the what's his name? The guy.
Oh, the what's
with
his face?
The face. With yeah, the face. Yeah. With the face. Cool. He played Vida Boheme in To Wong Fu. Thanks for Everything, Julian Newmar.
I have no idea what any of the words you just said at me.
So the film To Wong Fu. Thanks for Everything, Julian Newmar.
Okay.
It's got Wesley Snipes and John Leguizamo as drag queens. He played Velvet Larry in Powder Blue. And Pecos Bill in Tall Tale. He was in that Ja Rule video, Murder Reigns.
Oh my God. What the fuck is his name?
He played dance class instructor in Dirty Dancing Havana Nights. His brother played Gork in Beach Babes from Beyond.
Yes. Okay. Is this John Travolta?
No.
Is it not? Joey Travolta is in Beach Babes from Beyond. Who does Joey Travolta play in Beach Babes from Beyond?
He doesn't play Gork. Well, no, because it's this guy's brother. So this guy's brother plays Gork in Beach Babes from Beyond.
Okay, keep going.
He played dance class instructor in Dirty Dancing Havana Nights.
Not seen Havana Nights.
Okay. You've not seen Powder Blue, where he played Velvet Larry?
No, I think I know who you're on about. And the name is on the tip of my tongue.
Okay.
It's not clicking for me.
He played Race Darnell in Letters from a Killer.
Letters from a Killer.
He played Jack McLeod in Three Wishes.
Oh my God.
He appeared as himself as the player in The Player. He was Sam Wheat in Ghost.
Hold on. Keep it going.
He was Nomad in Steel Dawn.
Oh, keep it going. My dick's tingling. Keep it going.
Okay. He was Johnny Castle in Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, he was. Keep it going.
He was he was James Dalton in Roadhouse.
Yeah.
He was Jim Cunningham in Donnie Darko.
It's on the tip of my tongue. It's Joey Travolta. There you go.
No, it's not. It's Patrick Swayze.
Obviously,
whose brother played Gork in Beach Babes from Beyond. He played a drag queen called Vida Boheme with Wesley Snipes and John Leguizamo. And he played Velvet Larry in Powder Blue. He was in a Ja Rule video.
Do you know what I think is incredible?
He played unnamed dance class instructor in the 2011 spin-off of Dirty Dancing.
I've not seen that
2004,
one.
Sorry, 2004.
Okay, so we're talking about Beach Babes from Beyond.
Yeah.
And his brother playing Gork, right?
Don Swayze. Yeah.
Yeah, so Patrick Swayze and John Travolta did a movie together.
They did?
And I think it's very cute that John Travolta's brother and Patrick Swayze's brother
did a film.
Co-starred in Beach Babes from Beyond.
Yeah.
That is the cutest thing.
Isn't it just?
Oh my God. That's the cutest thing. I love this.
Was it The Outsiders that they did together? What was the film?
Who was it again? Joey Travolta?
No, Don Swayze. Stop it. We got Comment Corner, and I wanna do a few.
I forgot Comment Corner existed, to be honest. We haven't done this in ages.
I know, but it's honestly the best. I love it.
All right, let's
because
do it.
Where else would you get such wisdom?
An Instagram.
Stephen Miller's been very... Stephen Miller Reviews. Their page is brilliant, by the way.
I love this guy.
They
go follow
were
him.
Very kind about Heretic, our episode and the movie. They were very excited for the Nosferatu one. But on the subject of best horror of 2024, Huly12 commented, "Late Night with the Devil, anyone?"
Ooh,
right?
That's a good shout.
I love that film. It's so, so good.
Yeah.
Now, conveniently named, Apathy for Production commented about The Killer, one of the most boring and cliched movies ever made. So
that's pretty funny, though.
Pretty apathetic about it.
That's what I mean.
And apparently Heretic was trash, according to Dick Sensei.
Dick Sensei. That might be one of the best screen names going. That's incredible.
It's good, isn't it?
Okay.
It's good.
Well, that's, I mean, it's a fair comment. It's not for everyone, you know what I mean? But it's objectively an incredible film, so he is wrong.
That was Comment Corner. If you want to be part of next week's episode, just find us on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube, and let us know your thoughts. We read and reply to every comment. And the ones we don't reply to, it's because we're busy and we've got mental health issues. We're trying our best.
Also, you might just be not that fun. You know what I mean? Be fun with it.
No, because some of them are hilarious and I forget to reply to them. Some of them are legitimately. I read them. I go, that's mint.
Oh, well, then that's
I'll
just
reply to that when I've got time. And then it's just lost to the sands of time.
That's good, man. I've enjoyed this. I think yeah. I need to give like a quick overhaul summary just to give everyone something to take away. A bit of homework, a few pointers to keep in mind whilst we're watching Roadhouse.
Right, let me get my pen and paper out and write this nonsense
Get your
down.
Pen and paper. Get the pigeon scribbles ready. You ready?
Yeah.
Lessons Johnny has learned that will encourage his future development into James Dalton by Ben Groves.
Age
36, buddy. There is a 3 in it, though. Good job, you. He's learned to fight for what he believes is right, whether he is alone or not. He's learned to pick his battles. He is believing he can be what he wants and that he can be deserving of love.
Mm-hmm.
He's learned to not be as scared. He's gaining his view of what is right or what is just. He throws away his bonus to give Baby the send-off that she deserves. He's no longer employed at Kellerman's or bothered by his past to such a detrimental extent. Everyone deserves a chance to prove themselves. His final speech on stage. Somebody taught me there are people who are willing to stand up for other people no matter what it costs them. Somebody who taught me about the kind of person I want to be.
Okay.
Welcome to the birth of James Dalton.
The Swayze verse.
Yeah, buddy.
What are you rating episode 1 of the Swayze verse, Dirty Dancing?
Okay, so this film I've watched maybe 3 times, 4 times in prep for this. Mm-hmm. Just because there's a lot of me getting distracted and just enjoying the film and then like, fuck, I need to make notes. So
another couple of minutes, lovely.
You know what I mean? Sorry about that. Also, fuck. I'm going to give it a 9.
What?
I'm going to give it a 9 because it was been a fat 10 for most of my life. I think a lot of it is based on nostalgia, but I know where this trilogy is going to go and I need a little bit of wiggle room.
Right.
If I knew where it was going and I didn't need the room, it would have been a fat 10, but I need the wiggle room.
What on earth are you talking about?
Roadhouse has got to be like one of my all-time favorite films. It's amazing. This is why the remake upset me so much.
You are a man with a fork in a world of soup.
Yeah,
you are
exactly what it is.
Room temperature IQ, hard of thinking, painted idiot. This is a fat 10.
It is a fat 10, but you need some room. You need some room.
But Ben, you were like, oh, maybe it's nostalgia. I'd never seen this film before, and I am widely regarded as one of the most cynical men that walks the earth.
Yeah.
I can find, do you know how easy it is for me to look at a sunset and go, it's shit.
Seen it before.
Right.
It'll happen tomorrow.
Right,
what's
exactly.
What's so special about you?
Right. No. What I'll do is I'll go, this is brilliant, except for that one bit of cloud.
Yeah, it would have been perfect.
And that one bit of cloud has ruined the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is a fat 10.
I'm so happy that you're getting a fat 10 out of this. I am so happy. But my point is, right, is we've been doing so many fat 10s.
You wouldn't know
recently.
A good film if it hit you in the pachanga,
what
Ben.
What are you talking about?
This is insane.
This is an incredible movie, but listen. If all films are fat 10s, no film is a fat 10.
Blink Twice was an 8?
Yeah.
We celebrated our 8 on Blink Twice.
Yeah.
Nosferatu was a 9.9.
For you?
You're the one giving out fat 10s everywhere.
That's what I'm saying, buddy. So don't have a go at me when I'm not giving out fat 10s. I'm trying to learn to be a better person. I'm evolving into my Ben Dalton.
Here's what's happened is you've gone into a field of sheep and you've gone, that's a cake. And then I've given you a slice of cake and you've gone, it's a sheep.
Yeah.
Moron. Anyway,
what
are we doing next week?
Next week's part 2.
Brilliant.
Crazy Swayze theory. We're doing Roadhouse.
Can't wait for that 9.
Yeah. No, Roadhouse is a 10. I'll just give it you now. It's a fat 10. I needed the room for Roadhouse, man. I'm telling you.
Right. Okay.
It's one of my favorite films of all time. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Please go and watch it. in advance. Take away some of the homework that you have and see if you can connect the dots between Johnny Castle and James Dalton, and just see if it tracks so far with you. And if not, why not? Are you mental? Send me an email immediately explaining why, because I need to fight you in the episode where you have no chance to defend yourself. But just before we wrap up the show, guys, if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to support the show, you can leave us a review and tell a friend about us, because it helps us more than you know.
It really does. And the way the Instagram algorithm works, the more you interact with our content, the more people it shows it to. So if you want to help the show grow, drop a like, share it to your story. It doesn't matter if you only got 2 followers, the algorithm still sees it as goodness. And like we say, comments are always welcome. And if you want more show, more content, and an extra episode as often as we can get to it, you can support us over on Patreon for as little as £1 a month.
£1 a month. That's literally it. There is a bunch of stuff on there already. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love and appreciate each and every one of you more than you will ever know.
We really, really do. And to thank you for spending an hour of your week with us, especially at the start of the week. We know a lot of you listen on a Monday. Ben's going to wrap up the thoughts, themes, and feelings of this movie. Mm. Not other films.
No.
This movie.
Not Roadhouse. This one, Dirty Dancing.
Into a little Monday motivational pep talk, which is nonsense because the whole film is 2 hours of Monday motivation. But Ben's going to sum it up.
It really is.
In as long as it takes me to tell you to just consume.
I think we can all take a leaf out of Baby's book here, right? If you ever find yourself bored or like hanging out with a family, you're like, God, my doctor dad is... It's just not doing it for me. I don't want to try on wigs for fun. Go fucking older one. You know what I mean? Go slumming it for a bit. Because those pores, I'm telling you, the pores, we ain't afraid it's going to break. You know what I mean? Swayze ain't sweating it. Swayze ain't thinking, oh no, you know, oh, what about this? His knee nearly exploded. He don't give a fuck. He's like, my knee's gone. What do I need a dick for? If I get a bad tooth, I might lose a leg.